Isaiah chapter 3 and the verse 10, the verse 11 also. Isaiah 3 and the verse 10, the word of God says, "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him." The year 1662 marked a great change in England. It may seem to be a very far-off date, a very insignificant date to us, but it marked an important event in the history of the Church of Christ in England. On the 24th of August, a day now known as Black Bartholomew's Day, 2,000 ministers of the gospel were forced to leave their pulpits because of what is called the Act of Uniformity. This particular act enforced the Book of Common Prayer upon the churches of England. There were other issues as well regarding the nature of true Christianity, and due to this, many English Puritans of a non-conformist persuasion left their pulpits. This event was known as the Great Ejection of 1662. And one of the Puritans of that time, by the name of Matthew Mead, he said that this fatal day deserves to be wrote in black letters in England's calendar. A man called Thomas Lyle agreed with his brethren when they said that this ejection was the greatest turn there ever was in England. It was J.C. Ryle who said in the 19th century that it was an injury to the cause of true religion in England, which will probably never be repaired. And as they faced this particular change on the face of the church in England, Thomas Watson, the Puritan preacher, he came to preach his last sermon to his congregation, and he brought their attention to Isaiah chapter 3, the verses 10 to 11, and he implied that the days of Isaiah corresponded to the days of 1662. He says there was change in the land. He said that Isaiah here was foretelling of the great sin and calamity that would come as a result of King Manasseh's evil and wicked reign. The opening verses speak of the prophet being taken away, and therefore how could the people hear the word of God? He compared the situation in the day of Isaiah to his day, saying that there were children who were ruling. And of course, not literally, although certainly going back in the history of this world, and in regard to the various kings and maybe the queens as well, there were those who reigned, and they were but children. And well, I'm sure maybe some of the boys and girls here tonight at 8, 9 years of age, maybe a little bit older, well, you would certainly love to be a king or queen at your age ruling a country. It would certainly be interesting. But in those days, it was said that they were as children. Verse 4, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Not merely literally children, but in the sense of those who did not understand the truth, those who knew nothing of God, those who did not have wisdom and understanding regarding the ruling of the nation. But amidst the turmoil and change, Isaiah is told by the Lord to remind the people of two great immutable or unchanging truths. So let me pause there. We mentioned this morning the great changes that will take place in this land in the future regarding the referendum, and to make things slightly applicable to ourselves. And there is change coming, and we can see a change on every hand. And the same truths that were preached here by Isaiah, the same truths that the Puritans referred to in their day and generation, are truths that apply to this day and this generation. Whatever the outcome was of the referendum, we know the outcome, but if it had been different, these truths would have still been the same. They are truths that we need to remember. They are truths that, child of God, you ought to treasure. Those of you outside of Christ, there are truths that you must certainly consider because they speak of eternal matters. Notice here these truths in verses 10 and 11. We've read them already. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. And whatever takes place in this world, however things pan out in future days, and whatever happens between now and the end of time, these truths will never change. They will never change. They will always be the same. It will be well with the righteous, but it will be ill with the wicked. And that is the message that the Church of Christ, from its very conception, has proclaimed, that the righteous are those with whom it is well. The wicked, on the other hand, are those with whom it is ill. These are truths that are biblical truths. These are truths that we could say is summarized the entire gospel of Christ. For certainly it is well with the righteous. The hymn that we sang said, it is well with my soul. And certainly for the righteous it is well, but for the wicked it is not well. It is not well. A message here was given. Notice that it was given to two types of people. Two classes of individuals, the righteous and the wicked. Mankind has different classes and categories and identities. Certainly they don't have two particular classes. We're split up into all sorts of categories. But whenever this world comes to an end, and even now, in the eyes of God, there are but two classes, the righteous and the wicked. Whenever the Titanic sank there in 1912, whenever there was that great loss of life, going into that ship, there was the first class and the second class and the third class. We could add the crew in there also. But whenever that ship sank, whenever the ship hit that iceberg, whenever the souls were lost, and the newspapers of the day were hearing the various reports coming back to them, there were but two classes, those who were saved, those who were lost. There was nobody in between. They were either alive, they were either saved, they were either secure, or else they had been lost to the icy waters of the Atlantic Ocean. And the same is true spiritually. At the very end of time, there are but two classes of people. Those who are righteous in the sight of God. Those who will go to their eternal reward. Or those of whom it will be said, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. And tonight, we have here these two particular categories. We have here a message that is applicable to today. And I want us to consider, in the moments that remain, an unchanging truth in a changing world. An unchanging truth in a changing world. We see, first of all, the certainty in this truth. The certainty in this truth. Notice what the Lord says here. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. There is a certainty in this truth. The Lord is saying that despite all that takes place, the land is going to change. There will be an upheaval. And there are things that are going to happen. And of course, the Lord is in control. But he says, despite all these things, it will be well with the righteous. There is nothing for the righteous to fear, for it is well with them. It was Thomas Watson who said that the great proposition that lies in the words is this, that however things may go in the world, it shall be well with the righteous man. This is an oracle from God's own mouth, and therefore we are not to dispute it. And as the people of God, just merely on the surface, let us say that whatever happens in this world, as we've mentioned or implied this morning,
Things happen in the hand, in the plan of God. Whatever happens in this world, it is well with us. It is well with us. If you've made sure of your salvation, if you know Christ as your Savior, then in this world there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Notice here that we have in view the subjects that are righteous. The subjects that are righteous. Say ye to the righteous, but who are the righteous? Righteous are those who enjoy that particular position by virtue of a certain basis or foundation upon which they stand. They are righteous because of something that took place outside of themselves. The Word of God is very clear that no one can be righteous through any work of their own. A man cannot be righteous on his own merit. The Word of God says there is none righteous. No, not one. But yet here the Lord is speaking to those who are righteous. And this righteousness did not come from themselves. They did not inherit it. And they did not obtain it. It was given to them by the Lord. It is a term that is legal. It is to do with one's legal and judicial standing before the Lord. These people that were being spoken to were the Lord's people. The Lord's people. They were righteous in the sight of God. The source of this righteousness, it comes from the Lord. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we'll read a couple of verses from this portion in the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 5. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." The Lord our righteousness. And the Lord is speaking to those who are righteous, not because of anything that they obtained, but because of the great truth that the Lord is their righteousness. The Lord has made them just in his sight. We have there in Isaiah 61 verse 10, Isaiah says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God." And he's saying here, "I will greatly rejoice." If I remember rightly, it is the Hebrew that basically says, "I will rejoice, rejoice." And there's a double emphasis there. It's implying the rejoicing that is taking place. It's emphasizing that it is great rejoicing. "Why? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness." And Isaiah is greatly rejoicing in his God because of salvation, because he has received that righteousness. He was one who was ungodly. He was one who was wicked. But yet the Lord, in his salvation, clothed him and covered him, redeemed him. Here in Isaiah chapter 3, we have those in view who are the Lord's people, not through any righteousness of their own, but through what Christ has done, through the work of God. We have those here, and they are right with God. They are just with God. They are the Lord's people. They belong unto him. And there's a great certainty here in this truth. Because those who are righteous are the Lord's people. They're precious in his sight. Precious in his sight. And in life, it is well with them. It is well with them. The standing that they have is on Christ. And child of God, the reason tonight that you are righteous is not because of yourselves. It's not because of something that you have obtained through any strength of your own. It is not through who you are or what you've done with your life. It is through the work of Jesus Christ alone. The righteousness that you've obtained, those garments of salvation, those robes of righteousness, comes from the Savior alone. It was Robert Murray McShane who penned those words. He said, "I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. The friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree. Jehovah Sekenu was nothing to me." He's speaking of the days before the Lord was his righteousness. He's speaking of days where he was found in his sins. Days when he knew not Christ as Savior. Days when he was walking that road that leads to destruction. He said the Lord, his righteousness was nothing to him. He knew nothing about it. Praise God, he was saved. Praise God that Jehovah Sekenu became everything to him. There is a solace from this righteousness. Notice that it says, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." This text is general. There's no specific period in which it is said that it will be well with the righteous. There's no particular mention of times of adversity or prosperity. There is this prophecy that things will not go well in the land, and therefore it will be well with the righteous. But even looking at this text, it is a text that, as we've said, is unchanging. It's unchanging. There is a certainty here in this truth that lasts for all time. For those who are righteous, for those who know the Lord, all will be well with them. The hymn writer said, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with the righteous. The Hebrew word means good. It is good with the righteous. And Isaiah is saying, though the city be destroyed, though the land is ransacked, though there's a great loss, a great change taking place, it will be well with those who know and love the Lord. It will be well. It will be well. There was a great certainty. These things would certainly come to pass. And child of God, there's a certainty regarding it being well with your soul. There's no need for you to doubt. There's no need for you to fear. The Lord has said in his word, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Lord has said here, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him." These things are sure. These things are promises from God that will not change with a passage of time. God's power never changes. God's word never changes. We can trust in the certainty of these truths that whatever takes place, it is well. It is well with us. Notice here, secondly, there is a comfort in this truth. There is a comfort in this truth. And we've certainly implied this already. But notice here that it says that they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Certainly we have here what Christ has done for them. Christ was their head and representative. It is by the righteousness of Christ they are justified. And when we think of what they've done themselves, it's certainly not a work salvation, but rather the fruit of salvation. Those fruits of the Spirit, the good deeds that by the Spirit of God they've been able to engage in as those who are righteous. And there is a reward. They are eating the fruit of their doings. All is well with them. And when we think of the great comfort in this text, well, we can think of the righteous, that it is well in life. It is well in life. When a man is clothed with the righteousness of Christ, his sin has been pardoned. All is well. There can be rejoicing because our sin has been removed. The hymn writer said, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." If your sin has not been removed, then it is not well. It is not well with you. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation to those who belong to Christ. It is well with the righteous. It is well in life. When we live our lives and we face our trials, we have the Savior to turn to for help and to aid. And when we think of the righteous and it being well in life, we're not preaching a prosperity gospel like many do. They say, turn to Christ and you'll have all your needs. Well, all your wants rather than your needs, your wants satisfied. Turn to Christ and you'll have everything that you want. Turn to Christ and those things that you desire, well, they'll be yours. And there are men and even women in this world who will preach a prosperity gospel. Come to Christ to be blessed financially. Come to Christ to enjoy a good health. Come to Christ and you'll get all these things that you ever wanted. But the Word of God, it does not proclaim that. And the Word of God emphasizes that as the people of God, yes, we can be blessed with those things. Yes, we can enjoy wealth or we can enjoy health. But we can still face the trials and the difficulties of life. We can still face those problems that come upon us all. What is being said here, that it is well with the righteous, it's not saying that the righteous will have no problems. That the righteous will go through life smoothly and all will be well. Sometimes all is well. Sometimes there are those, and they certainly have much to be thankful for, because very little trials, very little problems come their way. But that is not always the case. Many of us, the majority of us, do have our trials to bear. But in spite of all of that, despite the problems, despite the difficulties, in life it is well with us. Because in those difficulties, we can turn to the Savior. In those difficulties, we have the Word of God. In those difficulties, we can seek the Word of God or the face of God in prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Savior is there for us. We have that access at the throne of grace for the help that we need. But let me say this, that yes, we will face difficulties and we will face trials. Like all men do, those outside of Christ, those who do not have the hope of the glorious gospel, face those things with no Savior, face those things with no God, with no divine help. But as the people of God, we have a refuge to turn to. We have one in whom we can rejoice in. We can think of Job. Job lost his wealth. He lost his family. Even lost the well-being of his physical frame. But yet, with Job, despite all those tragedies, it was still well with him. It was still well with him. Why? Because he was right with God. We can think of the righteous and all is well in death. And certainly that is something that we can rejoice in. Paul said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that victory over death. The righteous enjoy that. It was John Owen, the Puritan preacher, who said these words. And well, it was a few days before he passed away. And well, if you ever read John Owen, you'll find, well, I may be exaggerating slightly, but his sentences are probably a few pages long. That's his sentences. And well, certainly he can be difficult to read. On the other hand, he can certainly be very enjoyable to read. But he said this, the last days of his life, some of his last words. He said, I am going to him whom my soul loveth, or rather, who has loved me with an everlasting love, which is the sole ground of all my consolation. Isaac Watts said, some of his last words, "It is a great mercy that I have no manner of fear or dread of death. I could, if God please, lay my head back and die without terror this afternoon." Men of God, men who were righteous, men who knew that in death all was well with their souls. Can you answer tonight, if you were to face death this day, this evening, could you face it knowing that all is well? That all is well. It is well for the righteous in eternity also. It is well with the righteous. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He knew that all was well with the saints of God, with the righteous. Because of what Christ has done, all is well in life and in death and in eternity. But then we have here the contrast of this truth. We've mentioned in introduction the two classes of people in view. They are contrasted in verses 10 and 11. We have in verse 11, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him." And we have the very opposite of what we're saying. The righteous can rejoice, for all is well with their soul. But the wicked, on the other hand, ought to fear and ought to tremble at what will face them, because it says here, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him." And there are those who are against God, and there are those who walk in the ways of this world, and they know nothing of salvation. They're not the righteous. And tonight in this meeting, there may be many classes of people. There may be boys and girls. There may be young people. There may be those who think that they're young people, and they're not, but they think that they are. And there may be those who are mature and wise. And well, some of us, we might not be as mature as they are. And well, we can look around and we can class everyone into, well, a large amount of different categories. But in reality, in the spiritual side of things, in the eternal matters, there are only two classes, the saved and the lost, the righteous and the wicked. And tonight in this meeting, there are those two classes present, those who are righteous and those who are wicked. And you may say, "Well, I'm not a wicked person. I'm not a wicked person. I'm not against God. I'm not spending my days working against the God of heaven. I'm not engaged in great sin and great depravity like others." You can go to the newspapers, you can point to various things that have taken place, and you can say, "Those people are wicked. They have done great and terrible things. They've broken the law of God, but not me. I'm found in the house of God. I'm a nice person. I love my family. I've been blessed in many ways." But that does not make you a righteous person. The definition of the righteous is that God has redeemed them. God has saved them. They belong to Christ. They've trusted in Christ as Savior. They've turned from the sin of this world, and they've looked to Calvary and repented and placed their faith in Christ. And if you're not resting upon Christ alone for salvation, you're not in those that are referred to as the righteous. The only other class is the wicked, those who are still in their sin. Those who are still in their sin. And there can be those who are sinners, who are great sinners. There can be those who go out into this world and take the lives of others, and they're wicked. And they're evil, and they're living in sin. There can be those who may be good and upstanding, those who may have morals, but yet they're not the righteous of God, the righteous people of God. But the Word of God still classes them as those who are not righteous, those who are unrighteous, those who are wicked and still dead in their trespasses and sins. Tonight, there are either those here who are righteous or there are those who were classed here as wicked. For those who are still in their sins, the Word of God says, woe, woe, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them. The wicked means here, the term implies wrongdoing, wrongdoing. All men are wicked in the eyes of God. It can literally mean that we have there, in regard to the book of Romans chapter 3, those who are unrighteous, those who have come short of the approval of God, those who are not trusting in Christ. And when we think of this, we have here, woe unto the wicked, a great cry of lamentation, a great cry of distress. It's ill in life. It's ill in life. There are problems. There are trials. And they can't turn to Christ. They can't look to the Savior for help. And they can't look to the Lamb of God. John 3 verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is ill in death. Ill in death. And we can understand that because there is no peace. There's no joy of salvation. And there is nothing. The wicked die under the curse of God. There's absolutely no peace that those who are outside of Christ can enjoy as they breathe their last breath, because it will be ill with them in eternity. The Word of God tells us, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The righteous into life eternal, but the wicked into everlasting punishment. There's no there's no third category. There's no third class. There's not those who attend church but yet haven't trusted in Christ. There's not a class for them. There's not a class for those who think that they are righteous. Those who are righteous in God's eyes and those who are unrighteous and wicked. It is ill. Ill in eternity. Let me say this tonight, that these are statements of truth. These truths are unchanging. Unchanging. In the days of Isaiah, they were unchanging. In the days of 1662, they were unchanging. Today, in 2016, they are unchanging. And as far or as long as this world remains, they are unchanging. In eternity, these truths are unchanging. It is well with the righteous. We can rejoice in that child of God, but it is ill with the wicked. Ill with the wicked. Tell me tonight, what category, what class do you come under? It's one or the other. You can either rejoice with the people of God, or you're lamenting because it is ill with you. Tonight, there can be hope. Tonight, there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. Put on those garments of salvation, those robes of righteousness, and you can enjoy salvation. You can enjoy the righteousness of Christ. It will be well in life. It will be well in death. It will be well in eternity. May the Lord bless His Word tonight for His name's sake. Amen.